welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky hold an international competition once again, but this time between the dessert wines of the United States and Germany. For the United States, the Wagner Ice Wine. And from Germany, the Schmidt-Sona Baron Auslese. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I'm joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
It's good to be here.
It is. Also on the show tonight is the Triple B.
Good evening.
Tonight, we have
tonight, we're in a drama-free zone.
We are in a drama-free zone. But we also are in a zone of sweetness. Because tonight we have a...
What?
I know, Scott didn't have a dumb pun, so I might as well. Tonight we have a battle of, they're dessert wines, and dessert wines between Germany and the United States. Both Riesling, who can do it better? Now, to keep things in the same price range, for the United States, which we'll drink second, is the Wagner Vineyards, which I've been to. We really appreciate their products. We like what they do. It's their ice vine.
Wait. Our listeners are really in their grave.
What? I do. I like their stuff.
You don't mock the Wagner family's products?
No. This is Wagner Finger Lakes, stupid.
Oh. No.
It's not Joe. This is a different Wagner.
Gotcha.
No, yes, I mock Joe and Naomi Joe and Chuck.
Wagner of the Finger Lakes.
Yes. Wagner Family Vineyards in the figure. They don't call them Wagner
Family. In the Figure Lakes?
Yes. They don't have a wine called Wagner.
Do they have a wine called?
Just don't want to listen.
In California. Oh, sorry. Wagner. What the hell?
I don't even know what we're talking about.
I know. Scott's just being a dumbass.
Drama.
True. Drama free. Wagner Family Vineyard. It's their ice vine. When I was there, they were all sold out.
You said you were going to say it. Ice wine.
I'm sorry.
Didn't he say that?
I did.
He did.
We'll get to that. There is.
You're just a lot of drama tonight, too, Rob Dern.
In Germany, it's pronounced Eiswein, and it starts with an E. In the United States.
It starts with an E? Does it have the dots on top?
No. But in the United States, it's pronounced Eiswein, because we're boring. But that is technically, that is what it is, Eiswein.
Right.
Eiswein is.
Oh, so you're, okay.
In the truest sense, they leave the grapes on the vines for the longest period as humanly possible until the first freeze. Then the grapes are frozen. Then they very gently press them.
Do they
caress them?
Do they pick them while frozen?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's cool.
Traditional ice vine in Germany, it's frozen on the vine, right? That's very expensive. First of all, it's very hard. You only get so much out of that. Probably because there's such concentration and residual sugar in the grape. But also, your hand selecting the grape. So it's the best of the best. And so you're going to have some that just get thrown in the bin, too. So at the end of the day, you're getting a very, very small crop.
It's also like the amount of patience.
Exactly. Patience, skill.
Yeah.
But you're talking $100 and some for a half bottle. That's what typically Eiswein goes for in Germany.
We've also just had so much like crap that people have called wine. Mm-hmm. Usually, you don't get as much crap with ice wine, right? Isn't it normally? You get crap?
You do, because there's everybody and their brother. See, this wine.
I thought it was normally good.
Normally, it's something that somebody would suggest is good.
Okay.
Wagner,
I see how you phrase that.
They do Riesling. They understand it. They're in the Finger Lakes. They're not hacks. This is something I bought on wine.com. Wine.com does not have things that are made in a bathtub unless it's made by, Fry Brothers. But this one is not left on the vine. This is harvested, then frozen. So it's a late harvest Riesling, then freeze.
Say it again? They harvested it, they're freezing?
Then they freeze it themselves. Why do
in
you do...
In a freezer?
Well, not in an oven. Yes, in a freezer. Why is that done?
Ugh.
Well,
I guess it's a flash freeze.
Yeah. As opposed to, yeah, it's not just they put it in their box and the refrigerator.
No, I'm not.
I mean, it's controlled.
I don't know that, but knowing industrial processes, that's probably what it's done.
In reality, why do you do that? Well, as opposed to $110.
It's like the opposite of blanching.
Yes, $110 a bottle, you can charge $20. Okay, and you still can get something that's really nice. Actually, we'll talk about the reviews, but this did get, the Wagner did get 92 of Parker's points. That's a good score.
It really is a good score.
A very good score. And then there's the German one that we have. And the German one is from Schmidt Sona. And you know Schmidt Sona. They make Leap for Milch. They make all
How
the
cheap. Schmidt?
Sona.
Like but, Schmidt Sona?
Well, Sona.
Is that how? Sona?
Yes. S-O-N or S-O-H-N-E. But the O has two little dots over it.
You like I that? Love that.
And Schmidt's, they make all that cheap stuff that you see in the grocery stores. But they do have this wine in an ice vine, but this is their Baron Auslesen. Baron Auslesen, if you know the German sweetness scale, you go Cabernet, Spätlese, Auslesen. I apologize to Germany if I'm mispronouncing it. And then Baron Auslesen. Now, Auslesen is late harvest, correct? Yes. But Baron Auslesen has noble rot. It's botrycized. So when we've done some botrycized Semillon, stuff like that here on the show. That's what this is. Now, one thing about ice vine, those do not have any noble rot. Those are clean, unaffected, pristine grapes. This, though, noble rot. So even that's how they get the concentration. That's how they get the sweetness. But these are the best grapes that they have. They hand select the vines. So once again, though, very expensive because, A, there isn't much to it. B, you know, it's very, very, very concentrated fruit and sugar.
It sounds like we have a rat.
We have a cat trying to open a door, but they don't know, quite know how to do the knob. Bo, go take care of that. You're ruining my dissertation on German wines. I actually sound intelligent for once. Damn it!
Well,
but anyway, so tonight we're going to compare these two.
No drama. That's why I'm not making any comments.
Exactly. We're going to compare these two to slightly different styles and slightly different regions. So the traditionalists, but the low-end traditionalists, because they're both around $20. Good Baron Auslesen, once again, half bottles, 90, 100, 300, who knows? This, it's $20-some bucks, $22, but it's Schmidt, it's Schmidt's own. Wow. But this is their equals
In
price and quality, oh, whatever. This got a 90 from the enthusiast, I think, too. So we'll point that out. So yeah,
the Vegas line on this would be Wagner by a couple points.
I would guess the Ice Vine or Ice Wine from the Finger Lakes should be better, but we'll find that out.
Really.
Oh, yeah. I would say they're a couple point favorite.
I would think so. That's why they're second.
So are you going to say, so what are we drinking first?
This is the German.
When we come back from the break, it will be the German.
I was going to say, have you done here on the wine vault yet?
No.
Okay.
I haven't here on the wine vault. We're right back. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the wine vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, probably folks. Nice. I know.
Drama-free zone.
I know, I know. So the first wine is the Schmidt Sona Baron Auslesen. We could call it Schmidt Sona if it makes you happy.
It would.
We can, because that's what I'll remember.
I was also going to request that Scott do this whole episode.
Why? Because he looks like a Nazi?
In his
you do that, Strange. I'll do this. A tit for tat, Scott. Seriously, let's take our shirts off.
I will leave if you do that.
It's the it's the tactical nuke option. You know about that. So,
Lord,
the first one. The
Can
Baron
I tell a story on Carol?
No, you can't. You can't speak of that.
I loved it.
I know. Well, you want me to tell? I'll tell it because I was there.
I was there too. She said it. Yeah.
So anyway, we were early on. We were dating. It was my grandfather's mother, mother's wife, second wife. So step grandmother. Yes. Anyway, so we're sitting there at the table.
Since you were there, it's good that you know who the players were.
They were playing, Rob's grandpa loved ping pong.
Okay.
And we were in their basement to play ping pong.
Well, no, we're actually at the kitchen table. There's two, well, there's
not. Oh, my God. There's more than. Anyways, we were at their house to play ping pong. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I think there's two different stories that we're talking about. The first one is, Carol referred to Becky by an old girlfriend's name.
Why would I have told that story? That's not topical.
And she goes, well, it's such a memorable name. I said, yes, like Hitler. Hitler's a memorable name. But then she commented on how Becky's
maiden
name is such a good Aryan name.
She didn't say Aryan.
German?
Yeah, German.
Oh, she meant the same thing. Yeah, no. My mother says the same thing, too.
You just totally told the story offensively. She didn't say it that way.
Well, then why else would you tell the story if it couldn't be offensive? So in the glass, the Baron Auslis.
She said it. Never mind.
I know. It's a little oranger than I expected it to be.
It is.
Yes. If you had fluid like
this.
Is
it orange because it was on with the skin on for so long?
That would be a suggestion. Baron Auslis is going to be darker, mind you. This is quite dark for a dessert wine, but that's okay.
It's a little bit orange hued, but it is like the color of someone that's like
very concentrated,
dehydrated.
If your pee is this color, folks, you do need to go to the emergency room. Yeah.
There's an orange tint to it beyond that.
Yeah.
You know,
you do have some internal bleeding, burst appendix, maybe. But
I would say it almost has like an apricot hue of it.
Oh. It looks like apricot marmalade. And that's one thing, apricot, peach, a marmalade nose is what you're... But apricot is always a big thing we get from botrycized stuff.
Yeah.
I think that there is a honey line through it that I'm a fan of. Yeah. And the other... It has like a floral element, like almost a floral perfume, but not in mm-hmm. a like your grandma's floral perfume, in a nice
and it's a different floral. It's not a floral where we talk about lavender, maybe honeysuckle. This is
I don't know, magnolia
almost. Oh, you're just walking. No, what is the tree in my mother's front yard?
It is a magnolia.
She has a magnolia,
dogwood mm-hmm. magnolia kind of thing. It's springtime, everything's bloomed. It might be a bunny hopping. It smells like Easter morning. Maybe a little fresh cut grass.
You said a bunny hoppy? A
bunny hopping.
Mm-hmm. You're overcompensating for the drama free zone. I think.
Well, that's right. I'm just
you're
trying
going
to be
all
calm.
Touchy feely.
Very calm. I can be that. Oh, okay. Becky's already drank. She couldn't resist.
You know, my first touch on the nose, I didn't much appeal for it. Then we've gotten into describing it. I enjoy the nose much more. I think it's just such a different nose.
Yeah.
My brain was telling me, what the heck is
going
on
here?
Telling
you, like, run. Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you the review from the enthusiast. And this is the 15 vintage, by the way. It's rare to find Baron Auslis at prices like these. And luckily, this bottling offers surprising bang for your buck. Dusty and earthen, yet chock full of fragrant orange blossom and peach. It's creamy. It's a creamy swirl of honey, fruit, and mineral with lingering finish. With a lingering finish. Enjoy now through last year. That's okay.
So it's a year past.
Perfect.
Whatever.
That's the way we like to drink it. Can you... Mm. I meant to ask this before. Can you speak to the glass choice?
Mm-hmm. We are using the Riedel Venom Zinn Riesling glass, because this is Riesling.
So I have to comment on the enormous coffee mug there. I've never seen.
Yeah. So if we have any listeners that are on Instagram, this is a famous, very hard to find cup. I have a Stanley 40 ounce. This is like sold out all the time. You can both judge away. People will be impressed that I got this. I bought it online like at 7 a.m. one day when they restocked. But this is always sold out at Stanley. Yes. It's always sold out at like Dick's Sporting Goods.
It's a unicorn.
Very hard to find. No. And the color that I have is really hard to find too. It's chambray.
So what's the color?
It's like chambray.
Yeah.
So it's a almost like a metallic baby blue.
Mm-hmm. No Yeti for you.
So
my Yeti, no, the bottom of it was like all jacked. It doesn't. I wanted to throw it away. Rob wouldn't let me. No, it doesn't sit level anymore.
No, it is. It's that's a unicorn. That's mm-hmm. like it's. No, it's a unicorn. It's like a retired unicorn. It's like.
Mm-hmm. Liz, it's really hard to find. A lot of people have to get ugly colors.
Mm-hmm. Well, this wine.
If they can find them.
Oh, yeah.
So something that I was going to ask about the glass. I remember we were somewhere. No, I don't know if this was you and me. If this was maybe when I was in college. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I was at a restaurant and we had this for dessert. But I mean, this was again a minute ago. I think that we drank this out of a port glass.
You could. I chose to drink them out of this. I thought it might be a little more bespoke. I for whites, for Riesling, if I'm doing a botrycized, maybe this would be better than that. But I don't think so, though. Because this is a Riesling glass. The taper between this and a port glass is not that different. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit bigger. So it just gets to your mouth faster. Yeah.
And I was reminded of that a little bit. There mm-hmm. is something port-like at the finish of this wine, and I don't know, it's a pleasant finish. I'm not a port drinker, but there's something pleasant on the finish that reminds me of port.
It's just a touch of nuttiness from but a lot of orange marmalade, tons of orange marmalade. Mm-hmm. A lot of the Aussie ones that we've done is more apricot, peach. This is definitely orange. And if you like oranges, buddy, this is for you.
I like it. I thought there might be a little bit more texture to this wine.
Yeah.
And there's not, which is a little bit of a disappointment. But I think it's very nice.
It's cheap, first of all. And it,
how much was it? 20?
20. But I bought it for $12.99. But it's 20.
Where did you get it? Wine?
I bought it in Niagara Falls, actually.
So it's not this big, luxurious mouthfeel.
No.
But...
It has.
There's a little velvety texture there. A little bit oily.
It has.
Yeah.
It has. It's
velvety, oily. Yeah.
It says to you, guess what? I am Baron Alsleisen. However, I'm a starter Baron Alsleisen. So if you like me, then find my bigger brothers that are better than this. But
and maybe I expected more of a mouthfeel than this,
mm-hmm.
and maybe. But it's for me, it's there that Rob called it oily. I'll call it like velvety. It's just a nice, mm-hmm. subtle
element of texture. I was hoping for a little bit of a waxy mouthfeel.
Yeah, I would think if a better one would have that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean.
Wouldn't that be really lovely?
Honeycomb, stuff like that even mm-hmm. should be pulling
you know
in.
That, like my grandma used to, when she canned, she did like a wax seal mm-hmm. on top. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought it was going to be. The texture was that.
Gotcha. And this,
would that have been? Oh man, that would have been great.
It finishes almost on a tang of an orange lifesaver. To be perfectly frank,
on the front side for me. Do you remember those orange? There were these. They shaped them like fruit, but they were just like a jelly.
Oh my gosh, with
sugar
candy. On the outside.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
On the front of this. It's that orange, which was more really like orange. I don't eat orange peel. I don't use it for cooking. But when I compare lemon to lemon zest, mm-hmm. this is what I would think orange zest has that taste of.
When I was growing up, my dad played bridge every Thursday night, and they had like standard snacks, and those orange slices were a standard. Yeah. There's always a bowl of them on the table. Those and like peanuts and pretzels and yeah.
But just the orange ones.
Mm-hmm. Only the orange ones, yeah.
But also, this is a 500 milliliter. It's not 375. So you can get more value, right?
I am a fan of the bottle, too. They look cool.
Yeah.
What is the wine? I think it's a Riesling where they paint the bottles. That's a Riesling.
You mean Ars Vitis?
That's not an ice wine, right?
It's no, that's urine in a glass, yes. No, it's that's pretty low end stuff, but Schmidt-Sohn wishes they made Ars Vitis because it makes a lot of money.
I'm sure you said what's the alcohol content?
9.5.
Oh, okay.
Low. Now, one thing this reminds me of years ago, we at Anderson's we sold this. It was a 750 actually, French, like a knockoff Sauternes. It wasn't Sauternes. I don't even know where it's from. Probably south of France. And it was $7.99. And it almost tasted bang on like this. Huh. But my brother-in-law and I, we would have a bottle of wine, or then we would go up to Anderson's and buy more, right? And so we had, this was our third bottle. So we bought two bottles, probably like a Cote de Rhone and then that. And so we drank that last. And I remember my brother-in-law going, you know, I don't ever throw up when I drink. Well, the next morning, my little nephew, who's now like 21.
Two.
Oh, is he 22? Yeah. He was in the little bouncer walker, right? And he's going around to the bathroom. There's my brother-in-law puking in the toilet. It's like, you know, I never. Well, you do when you drink a 750 of fruit sweet wine. That's what you do. So
that would be a lot.
It would be not the way to a whole 750. A 500 milliliter split between three people? Okay. But.
I feel like you would a little bit get like the keto shakes after. You know what I'm talking about? Like if you drink a bottle of this,
you get the beaties is what you get. Yeah, the beaties.
So for me, the interesting thing of this wine is the finish. It's going sweet on us. It is a sweet wine. It's plenty of sweet wine, but it's going sweet sweeter towards the finish. Yeah. But then there's this wonderful lingering that orange marmalade Rob talked about.
Yeah.
It just lingers on and on and on and on and on forever.
It stays true to the orange marmalade, and then it filters out into its orange rind, orange peel.
It's a nice finish.
No, I
didn't expect this to have anything you would even call a finish.
The Botrys, the stickies from Australia, they're more intense, they're thicker, they're bigger, they're better than this. But at the same time, this is different to the point where you're like, okay, but this tastes different, so that's okay. Scott and I recently downed a bottle of Australian Muscat. Do you remember drinking it? I don't. It was lovely. It was very tasty. We were going to do it on the show, but then we just didn't, and we drank it anyway. Once again,
we actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, we did. Those are fortified. This is not fortified. This is fermented, not fortified. So remember, with German Rieslings, things like that, they don't fortify them. So there's no introduction of spirits. But.
But.
What are you doing? You know, it doesn't mean you're not going to get hooked up. With the Muscat, it's fortified, so.
I wonder if somebody out there does this as a fortified wine.
Riesling? I've never seen that. I don't know if I'd want to.
But this format here, this wine.
I see where you're headed.
Why couldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's got the profile for it.
Well, I'm sure somebody like Fry Brothers said, why can't you do that? I don't know. Let me check out why you can't. And they tasted it, and they used to have a third brother.
You're headed with it, though.
Now he's gone.
He's just dead.
Are we using this for everything?
No, there's a knife there. I just
didn't know.
Becky was vexed by the cheese cutter.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, just saying. So, folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to finish our glasses. And then we're going to come back for the ice wine from New York. Here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. So now on to the Wagner Ice Wine from Finger Lakes. Yes, not Joe or Chucky.
First, this is yellow, not orange.
It is. It is yellow.
It's still dark. Mm-hmm. But it is, there's no orange.
Well, it's it doesn't have the noble rot involved with it, so it is going to be.
What's a noble rot?
Noble rot is the rot, the bacteria that will reduce the grape down, botrycizing. So it's reducing it down into like almost a raisin. So they're pressing a raisin.
Yeah. Is it, so as the grape raisinates per se, mm-hmm. the botrycization process, it's twofold. It's the grape becomes dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
As it raisinates, but then there's the bacterial growth of the noble rot that occurs.
So similar to where we're with an ice wine, you're freezing the grape, which is eliminating the water from the actual juice. Mm-hmm. That is condensing it down to like a raisin, and so you're just squeezing something that you might get a drop, as mm-hmm. opposed to a gush. So you're just concentrating everything. I know. So this wine though does have a review. Robert Parker did give it 92 of their points, and they wrote, "Hey, this is about no
going upstairs. I can't wait to get to the nose. It is so much different than the other.
That's
one.
True. The 19 Riesling Ice, which comes with parentheses around, comes in at 13.1% alcohol, which is 185 grams per liter of residual sugar and 13.8 grams of total acidity. This is an ice wine harvested in late October 19 with the grapes that are frozen by the winery. Quite lovely. This is a nice wine that expresses its fruit well and always stays under control. Never
always
sloppy
stays
or cloying.
Under control.
Yeah. It's never sloppy. It's never too fruity or sweet, whatever.
Drama free.
Yes. It has enough acidity to lift the fruit and make this wine easy to actually drink. Easy to actually drink.
Mm.
All right. Okay. Then the waves of peach and apricot flavors comes through.
Ooh.
Unlike classic ice wines, i.e. frozen on the vine, the price points it can be reasonable for this style. I'll leave it to the debate on whether this style makes better wines, though, for another time. That price is for half a bottle, but it's a good deal for a fine ice wine.
What's the price?
About $20.
What was the sugar content that Bob referred to?
185 grams per liter of residual sugar.
So really has the range, in the German range, it would be just the range of sweetness in a late harvest wine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's comparable to what you'd expect it to be. They do a late harvest, then they freeze it.
Mm-hmm. And the 2020 got 91 of James's points. That's correct. I provided a 91 of my points, and I said, drink me or hold me. Then Wilfred called me on my cell phone, and he said he used to call me on my cell phone.
Wilfred used to call me on my cell
phone. I did. I have a jitterbug. Big buttons.
Late at night.
Late at night when you need my love.
Okay.
Call me on my cell phone.
Wilfred.
Late night when...
Okay. In the glass, it is, as Becky said, yellow, not orangey mm-hmm. pee-pee.
It looks golden. Like a... Denser Riesling.
Denser Riesling, exactly.
Which is what it is.
Or like a oak Chardonnay.
It does look like an oak Chardonnay, yes.
It's as deep a yellow as you'll see in a domestic white wine,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Some aged Chardonnays can also cake on this kind of...
The nose is so different. It's like almost shocking to go...
A little hay... Dry grass.
Oh yeah, it's totally farmy, isn't it?
What do you make that the doesn't really
maybe a bit of peach, crystalline peach.
That's I feel like honestly a bit of a stretch. The farminess is a lot.
Oh, yeah,
and farmy grassiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
kind of back in there the grassiness.
That's right.
Where the I don't know. I would almost. Say if I was gonna give it a fruit, I would say it's almost lemon in the background, but it's there's you're really pulling to make any note of a fruit.
I feel like there's maybe like a wax smell,
a little bit
in there,
honeycomb-ish.
I don't know.
That's why the ish is at the end. It's a little muddled.
You're a little muddled.
It can be.
Hold on, before we drink. Which nose do you prefer?
Yes. And not at first, but there's a lot going on.
Fermented pineapple.
This
it's not in there. You made that up.
There's Yeah, he did make it up.
That's why. No, it's fermented pineapple.
Your brain's fermented pineapple.
Boop, boop, boop.
No.
This is a nice nose.
Yeah.
It's just so subtle. I do like what's in this nose. Yeah. I like that farmyard grassiness.
I would pick the German one a lot.
The nose.
This reminds me of... what's the Rock Mill Belgian Ale? Oh. Is that what it is?
Really?
Yeah. Is that really good?
Brace yourself. Now that is sweet. That is really sweet.
It's very sweet, and that has some of the...
Holy hell. That might be the sweetest thing I've ever... sweetest wine I've ever consumed in my entire life.
This, I think, is pectin, the word I was looking for that goes on the top of, like, homemade, canned.
Pectin's what you use to thicken your jellies.
Then whatever that wax is, this has that.
Yeah.
It's just a...
That texture is what I was thinking we would have in the first one.
You know, it has some length.
Yeah, it does.
Because you have this big rush of crystalline tropical fruits. And as you let that just kind of flow along, at the end... kind of consolidates into slight marmalady honey kind of going on the finish.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a word, but I know what I mean. Maybe even a mango chutney. No. Is it?
There's a touch of something a little bit spicy in there.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe white pepper?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Maybe white pepper?
I was thinking it's not cayenne, but I think that white pepper is spot on.
Yeah.
That is a little bit of a surprise, isn't it?
And it's... So you kind of got to look in there. You kind of got to look around. It's like there's a couple different rooms in this wine, you know, so...
Oof.
And you're going slow. You know, you don't invade this wine's privacy. So you knock on the door, you take a little peek in, and there's some white pepper.
What?
You know what else there is? There is apricot in there.
Mm-hmm, there is.
So let me get this straight.
You just got to take a look.
Carefully. You broke into somebody's house.
No. You're in as a guest.
Free.
No, you're in as a guest.
Oh, so you're sneaking around the house to look at them naked?
You're in their medicine cabinet.
You're a guest. Scott's
you want to take a peek.
But they're private people.
You shouldn't let them in their house.
You just need to knock on the door before you go in.
Oh, and you're like, oops.
In Father of the Bride 2, Steve Martin goes to the bathroom at his in-law's house. And like, I think it's 2, maybe it's 1. Anyways, and he rifles through their office, like filing cabinet. Mm-hmm. That's what Scott's doing.
No, I'm not going to ask him permission first. I'd ask permission.
May I sort through your things, please?
Yeah, for me, the sweetness kind of calms down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you acclimate to it. It's kind of like breathing underwater.
it's a potent sugar content.
Well, it takes you by surprise. But then once you catch your breath a little bit, you're like, okay, let me ride this wave. And the wave is not a bad wave.
Mm-mm.
It's not a bad wave.
It has a little bit, you know, if you're eating a peach and you get too close to the center.
Okay.
It has a little bit of that on the finish.
Mm.
Like, it's a little bit of like a nut finish, but it's like a, that's what it reminds me of. When you said, someone said apricot, and I thought, oh, there's a little bit of a peach core. The slice that's the closest to the middle of the
I think peach. That might be even like a little bit of the acidity.
That's what I was going to go for. Mm. That's what it reminds Maybe. Me of, the mm-hmm. acidity. And I think
the acidity on the finish is a really nice bit of acidity. It's popping, and it's just such a nice little bit. And it cleans it up a little bit.
So, folks.
Oh, I taste the acidity, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have to look for it. Mm-hmm. This is such a subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, you have to knock on the door. Stick your head in and look around. You have to look for things.
Reach for the light switch. Oops, I grabbed you.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how disturbed are you, Rob?
By Scott? Oh, 2.
No
this
more
is
than
nothing. This is nothing.
No more than ever. No more than normal.
I mean, Jesus. That's the next damn too much down here.
This is
shit he says.
This is the guy that does Wilfred wrong. So.
What do you mean, Scott? When have I ever offended you? You were in that tamarack just like me. Oh, I know. Tapped your foot. Okay. Strangely enough, why was there a hole between... I don't know. I told you not to look me in the eyes.
How many glasses of this could you drink before you got sick? Because it is sweet.
Well, we'll find that out.
I don't know about getting sick, but you definitely need to snacky with this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What snack?
I think right where we're
butter
at.
Butter cheese.
Cheese.
I don't think you could add a meat in at all. A I meat? Think it would be
this is dessert this. Level. I mean, a nice, like a peach tart, something like that would be nice.
I don't know if you could.
But
I
not think, overly sweet. They're more of a safe. You have the fruit, but you're not really the butteriness, the flakiness from that. That's what I'm more talking about. So,
let me give you my way I would incorporate this with a meat.
Strawberry shortcake.
You're doing pork in a pan.
Pork in a pan?
You're going to take it. You've let's say you brown tenderloin or maybe some chops.
Let's just call it that. Yeah.
You're going to let it rest, but you've got those nice pork drippings in there.
All right.
Nice reduction sauce with this. And add enough that you could turn it into a glaze for your pork.
Yeah.
Freaking fantastic. It'd be an expensive.
Yeah, that's a bad use for this, but yeah.
I think it'd be
tasty. But she said, well, she meant. What she meant to say was, what would you drink this with? Not would, what
no,
would
I
you,
didn't I know, say what would you drink this with.
Well, you should have said that. Let me rephrase that.
I know what she said. I was just telling you where my mind went to use this as a
glaze.
Are
you saying what would your first wine be?
No. I'm saying if you're pairing this wine with food, not if you're using this wine as a condiment.
Oh, right. That is
what you're drinking while you're eating. You're not eating this or drinking this with pork. I can understand, yes, you can make a reduction. Sure, you could.
I think
it'd be
fantastic.
A very sweet reduction.
It would be something interesting to put over some kind of ice cream, too. Just to try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe. Similarly, I might reduce it a little bit.
You want to make a syrup.
Just to thicken it.
You just want to make a syrup.
Just to thicken it.
Honestly, I didn't look that close. They have all sorts of rando stuff at Wagner. They probably have some sort of reduction syrup thing that you could buy recently.
What flavor? I mean, I guess vanilla bean.
Yeah, vanilla bean.
Rocky Road is what I would do it with strawberry ice cream. It'd be bizarre, but that's just how I am.
I was trying to think of something other than vanilla, but I don't know.
Avocado ice cream. Stop. I would do that, yeah. You ever had a savory ice cream, Scott?
Yes.
Like pork ice cream? You ever had that? It's
maple
ham.
You've never had maple bacon ice cream?
Yes, but I mean, no, it's like you actually have a pork roast and you cut it up into chunks and you put that in ice cream.
I thought you were going to say pork in a pan.
That's disgusting. I don't even know what that means.
I know. He said pork in a pan.
Well, he's a pervert. That's why.
Stop.
He's talking about fucking a pan. That's what I think.
So how many glasses of this could you drink before you got sick?
Oh, 50.
What?
Oh, yeah. How big of glasses? Well, we're going to try that out because Scott and I have to drink both these bottles.
I don't think I could drink enough of this to get sick. I would stop before then.
Yeah.
I feel like I would maybe get sick after 5 or 6.
Oh, you're not going to get to that. There's not that much in a bottle.
I know, but that's why I'm asking. How many of these until you get sick? Red wine, I feel like the limit doesn't exist that much.
No, like 18 bottles?
Yeah.
I did 7. You know, it's all right. I was
rolling my eyes.
I mean, not sick. I didn't throw up. I mean, I walked to bed. So no, I didn't.
Was that Mother's Day?
No, I don't know when that was. No, it was July or June, some month. It was a warm month. It was warm outside.
I bet it was.
One of those bottles was a bottle of port, whole bottle.
Who'd you drink it with?
Jason.
Oh.
But he's a bad man.
It was June.
Yeah, it's June. Yes. Some people are just bad influences, and he's just one of those. I heard the drink otherwise.
It's his fault.
Scott, I've never...
Right.
It's his fault that you opened all the wine in your basement.
Right.
Too.
I didn't know if that's hardly all
you're
the wine
exactly
in the basement.
You're exactly right,
but,
Scott.
Yeah.
Drama-free zone.
Yeah, that's true. Let's be honest. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, I am going to air a grievance.
Oh, no.
A massive grievance.
And we thought it was going to be the drama for you.
Well, we're saving all the drama for now. So, Myers. Everybody wants to talk about this anyway. On Friday night, first of all, I had a shitty day. So I go into Meijer, and I'm going to buy some meat. So I bought some meat. Then I walk past the discount section, which everybody except for them knows there. And so I see that Mount Veeder, Napa Valley Cabernet, something Scott and I like quite a bit.
Yeah.
$28.99 a bottle. So I call Scott, and Scott goes, buy everything.
Yep.
Everything. What else they got? I'll buy it all. So I bought a lot. Let's just say a cart full.
Mm. You didn't buy a lot. Put a lot in your cart.
Okay. So I go up to pay. My birthday was the 27th, right? And so at Ohio, you can renew online. So my license is valid. It's just I'm waiting for the license to be mailed to me. I go up, and I'm in the self-checkout line, whatever. And the guy comes up, and he looks.
And you are, for people that don't know.
31.
Salt and pepper.
I have gray in my beard. Thank you very much.
White in your beard, sir.
Yes.
It's beyond gray.
You are a distinguished-looking gentleman that I love.
Thank you. It's on record, folks. It's been recorded, and it will be on the internet. You just heard what she's just said.
What, that I love you?
Yes.
I was concerned about the distinguished-looking part. But.
I'm just uncomfortable. Anyway, so, guy goes, your license is expired. And I said, my birthday's on it. What do you need? It's my picture. We can't accept it. And so,
be careful.
I said, will you? Well, I called Scott. And Scott goes, ask if he'll put it on the back, put my name on it. I'll come by tomorrow.
He often calls me when he's in a quandary.
Well, it was your wine mostly.
I can't believe you even had cell phone service to call. That Meyer is a black hole of cell phone service.
It's a black hole. Anyway, they wouldn't do that. Matter of fact, they wouldn't do anything. No customer service whatsoever. So I get home. I mention it to Becky, and she goes, wow, good.
Me and the kids are outside playing in the front yard.
Yep, and Becky goes,
having a really lovely evening. Henry is trying to drop kick a soccer ball into the basketball hoop.
From in front of the house.
Okay.
It's such a funny.
And trying to throw footballs through there.
It's such a funny thing that he's trying to do. It's Maggie was walking around yelling.
Mm-hmm. It was, you know. And so Becky just leaves and goes down and buys it.
I said, do you want me to go? And you were like, would you go do it?
He left out the crying part. He comes home in the driveway. He's crying.
I wasn't
crying.
What's
wrong, Rob?
But anyway,
it seemed
like you were very eager just to get out of the house, too. I was like, sure. Yeah.
Maggie had been walking up and down the driveway going, da, da.
Yep.
Da.
This morning she's upstairs. Da, da. Da, da. Da 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 da. Mm-hmm.
Which one did you refill my glass with?
I don't remember. Baron Alslason.
Okay.
Hmm. So that's my airing of grievances. Scott, do you have an airing of grievance? Do you have a grievance to air? Something that's frustrated you that you want to curse? You don't, because you're a happy man.
Yeah, so I'm a happy, happy man.
Yeah.
Airing grievances, we finally started the pool, and that's all that it is started.
Is it October now?
They were so confident. They showed up this week for less than a half hour. They brought three shovels.
Three shovels?
Which the shovels are on the pile of dirt.
Oh, no.
That's the progress.
That's a good
thing. Were they hand digging it? I don't understand. Do they have a hole dug for the pool?
The hole's already dug.
So what were the shovels for?
That's a good question.
They just dropped them
off. Deb was home, didn't talk to them, didn't interact with them.
So
did you hire gypsies or something?
It wasn't the main guy there that day.
Oh, I would think.
Does it concern you that you're going to have a big hole in your backyard for the winter?
For the rest of my life.
Yeah. But it looks nice. Is Deb very, very pleased with it? Who picked out the pool guy? I've been sensitive about not making fun of you about this, but since you brought it up.
I didn't pick him out.
Oh, yes, you did.
Did not.
The guy that you hired, who was all dead, Scott's original pool guy, he hired a company. Everybody in the company, except for the owner, died.
That's not the exact story.
Well, they died. They're dead, aren't they? So you hired dead people to put in his pool. So then
you're being very insensitive right now.
Well, no. They hired dead people. But you gave
them. They died of COVID.
Okay, well, they all died. Anyway, Scott, they were holding a check of Scott, what, $100? He was holding a $100 check as a deposit. He didn't deposit it.
Why can't we put a deposit down on a pool?
Because, well, we use Scott's pool guy that's dead.
I've got one. I got to pull guy.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, you're great. And so then that guy, who had dead people working for him, tells Scott, I got a guy. And Scott goes, great. Scott didn't say, maybe you aren't the guy for me.
Can
no.
Go ahead and put a deposit down on a pool?
No, you may not.
So we can get it in like 2024.
No, you may not. But.
But so, like maybe.
No.
Did you hear that as a maybe?
No. Not really? No, it's a definite no. No.
2025?
No.
Six?
No.
I can't go any later than five.
That's not a negotiation.
It is.
It's just a flat no. So, you know. But, yeah, so that's your, yeah, you're mad at yourself.
No, I'm mad at you.
What did I do?
I was going to say you're mad at Deb.
I'm mad at Deb's the pool guy who's not finishing our pool right now.
Well, don't wish him ill. Who knows what happens when you do that.
For all I know, our pool guy is dead, and that's why he's no progress.
That's fair.
It's three guys work as, oh, he's dead? Guess Scott, I'm not going to get paid.
What was the original start date for this pool?
Why are you being August? Mean? We're going to have the worst problems to interviewing our pool in 2024.
Be quiet.
It's my airing of grievances,
no,
sir.
No, I'm asking you questions. When was it supposed to be? When did they first open the first shovel?
It's probably going to be challenging for us next summer when we're in this boat.
It's going to be challenging for you next summer because you'll be in a boat in the middle of Lake Erie. So
I would love to be on the water.
No, a small boat. So
with no kids
and no paddles. Yes,
just relaxing,
floating the drift. I don't think it'd be. Last time you were on Lake Erie, you about peed yourself because you were scared because you're on a jet ski and didn't know how to drive one.
That's true. Yeah. It did scare me.
Mm-hmm. Anything you do in Lake Erie you should be scared of.
I was fine. I drove it.
I'm not talking about the jet ski. I'm talking about being in that water.
Well, I didn't get in the water. Becky was going to sink us. I don't know how you did.
You were on a jet ski.
Yeah.
It's in the water.
I didn't.
We weren't like out in the middle. We were just like.
Yeah. It was difficult.
Are you ready for my grievance?
No. And then we're done. So we'll be right back. What's your grievance?
My grievance
is
something that I feel like we've created, but just like. Everyone thinks they can get everything immediately. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so, for example, our kids will just say they want something. And our kids aren't brats. But they'll say they want something. And then they don't understand why it doesn't, like, appear. So, like.
So, you're talking about William?
Yeah.
Okay.
We get groceries pretty much, like, once a week with, like, a little bit of mixed in. But, like, we get a big order every Friday. So, this week. William says, Mom, could you get us some Fantas? They love those like little mini cans.
Yeah. The little 7.2 ounces.
Yeah, they're like a
something.
Half can. They're so cute. It's but weird. We'll get a 6-pack of those mini cans and they'll be gone in a day. Like they love
in seconds,
those things.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, William, like I will look and the next time I see them on sale, I'll get them for you. Because if they're not on sale, they're like $8.
It's expensive.
Everything is so expensive. Papa's so expensive. So I tell him this yesterday. Tonight, he threw a fit because they hadn't already magically appeared in our
That's
fridge.
Your fault. So, Scott, I'm going to show you a picture today. We were at a charity fun fair thing today. Mm-hmm. And there were different people in costumes, right? Like, both of the crew cats were there. And then there was a person in a dog costume.
In an adult costume?
Dog costume.
You just said adult.
I said a dog.
You said a dog.
Oh, you're
Go ahead.
Deaf. So then there was this other person that was wearing this red costume, red pants, and it looked like a kind of like a tomato with a point on the top. It's obviously a drop of blood.
They were from the Red Cross.
Yes. But so William wanted a picture with this thing. So he goes, puts his arm around him, and then he comes up to me and goes, what is that, by the way? I said, it's a drop of blood. And he looked at me like, oh, why did I just get the picture with that thing? I was like, well, you're the one who did it.
Let me see how the picture turned out.
He's very happy to be in it.
He's so, William is the cutest. Let me see.
Well, my point was, why I was talking to one of the dads. I went, why does the drop of blood have white gloves on? Becky.
I just want to look at it. Why does it?
I said, that must be the pus in the blood.
Ew.
They're going to have a gaping head wound.
The drop of blood has sunglasses on.
It does, because they want the drop of blood to look cool. They want the kids to be excited about it. Then, Scott, they have a needle that runs around with blood
spurting.
They
do not.
Well, they should, because that's the reality.
I can't believe you said that.
Red Cross, you can't make blood look cool. That's just disgusting. You don't see somebody running around with a in a fucking urine costume.
I'll be honest. It actually looks like a cross between Hey Kool-Aid and M&M's.
It does, but it ain't.
Yeah, kid, it's cool. It looks cool.
Kid bleeding's cool. Come on, let's go. It's like, no, no. It almost, and also a little bit of the California Raisins, remember them? Kind of looks like that, too.
So, for William's defense, you know, I was going to pop on Amazon and order and have it shipped to your house tomorrow, have it shipped here within the hour, except Amazon price, Fanta Mini, 10-pack, $22.
So what's the problem?
Yeah, they're expensive.
$22.
Yeah.
Coke is $6.49 for 10. Mm-hmm. Fanta Mini, $22.
I, whenever Pop is on sale, I buy, I'm watching it sent. It hasn't sent yet. Whenever Pop's on sale, I'll buy like 6 12 packs because it's very expensive. A 12 pack of Diet Coke is like $8 or $9 now. And when you get it on sale, you can get 3 for $12. Huh. It's stupid. And no. Rob will occasionally drink a half Diet Coke.
See the song on right now?
That's, yeah. That's and then I'm like, Rob, you're wasting money. Or the other thing that's really expensive right now is San Pellegrino.
Oh, it was always.
Yeah. But it's really expensive now. I told Rob I'm such a bitch. Rob, if he drinks a half of one and leaves it on his nightstand, I'm like, you have to stop. You just wasted like $6.
So true.
Oh, no, Becky, don't call yourself that. No, don't do that. There we go. I just said stop. Oh,
okay. That's mean.
No, it's not. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. So, now for the review section for the Schmidt Sonne and the Wagner Ice Wine. We're going to go around the room. We're going to start off with the Triple B, and she's going to give us a review and a score for the Schmidt Sonne Baron Auslese.
Which one?
The one that was just in your glass. You gulped down.
Which
like
one? Say it again.
Schmidt Sonne.
German. Germany. And now it's springtime.
My score for this, it's an 88. I would obviously drink it again. I thought it was good.
Rhineland's a fine land once more.
So good. I was trying to think about what would make it be like an 89-90, and that would have been like a texture in it, but it was very good.
All right. On to Scott.
It's good. Would I buy it?
$12.99, like I did. Maybe you would.
Maybe
$22.
Maybe not.
Well, it depends.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's. I'm going 86. It's a little bit one dimensional. Now, that one dimension's nice, and what do I expect out of it? I think, like Becky had said, I wanted a little more out of the texture. It does have a nice texture. 86, 87. I'm fine, 87. It's good. Do I recommend it?
Depends on who, too.
Yeah, that's true.
What's that supposed to mean?
Trashy people? No.
No, actually, no. Actually, no. I would go the other way. I would go, if you're elitist, it's for you. No, I would say if you're a white wine drinker and want to veer off into dessert wines, maybe it's a little transition to that.
It's a lark. It's a lark. It's an interesting lark. Orange marmalade is definitely prominent there.
And I think people will like that. No, it's, but for me, it's just a little, you know, yes, we've done port. We've had different dessert wines. It's just a little one note for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm an 86. I think that it's a pleasant thing to drink. It is somewhat one-dimensional in a certain sense. It's orange. It does
orange.
Are you
going to say it's for trashy people?
No, but you like it, so maybe. It's orange, and if you like orange, it's exceptional at that. But it also does that one dimension very, very nicely. If you found it, it's not. I just randomly saw it at a wine shop in Niagara Falls, for Christ's sake.
Is it that place that...
Yeah, so it's not like it's out in the bout where you can find it anywhere. It's pretty hard to find, but if you found it and you bought it, I don't think you're going to dislike it. I think it's fun.
You bought it on my birthday.
Yep. I bought it for you, but it's your birthday. But it's something to maybe play around with. You're not going to be out much. If you want to say, hey, what is a little bit of this Barnhouse license looks like? It's kind of what it is. It's the idea. I don't think they make it all the time either. So it's not like every vintage they make this, they play around with it. So if you don't want to spend a lot, but you want something that's a little more fun, that's something to do. It's more of a novelty, but it's a good novelty. It's a good novelty. Yeah. So on to the Wagner. Becky, what is your score for the Wagner?
I'm giving this one an 87.
That's out for... No, I'm just joking. Go ahead. What's your score? Or your review. Explanation. Explain yourself.
Right.
And your insolence.
I knew where you were headed. I am not as much the hay farm smell the nose. The main redeeming thing for me was the white pepper. I thought that was very, very nice and very unexpected and lovely. For me on this one, I was more like 86, 87.
Scott?
I 88. It's a scale, right?
I
like the side-by-side comparison. This one definitely has more complexity to it. I think they've done a nice job with this wine. I could see where someone would score it lower. I could see where someone would score it higher. We don't do a lot of dessert wines, and particularly, you know, our wheelhouse is doing the ports. And this is just the first impression is just so sweet. Mm-hmm. But that seemed to soften, or our taste buds got knocked out. I don't know. But there's a lot of subtlety going on. The white pepper, it's a lengthy little thing. That kiss of acidity at the end. The different fruit. I got a kiss of almost like lemon out of this. I don't know. Maybe it was lemon curd. 88. I think it keeps me from giving a little higher because I think this is really, really well done, skillfully made for what it is. Just that overwhelming sweetness at first that just punches you in the face.
A little much. And Scott, who was the politician that was basically, there was some younger politician that always compared himself to JFK, and the older politician goes something along the lines of, "Sir, I knew JFK. I served with JFK, and you, sir, are no JFK." Well, I've had real proper German Eiswein, and this is not German Eiswein. It doesn't taste. It barely even registers what German Eiswein tastes like. It just doesn't. It's a nice drink. But it don't taste like this. It's Eiswein is far more concentrated. It has a wonderful crystalline texture. I mean, it's like fireworks going off in your mouth. It's just gorgeous. This is a very sweet wine that finishes very, very nicely. It has good length. And if you called it I understand why they're doing it. And I think they should keep doing it because it's a fun thing to drink. And quite frankly, you're going into, and I've been to Wagner, mind you. You're sitting out on there.
Oh, you've been to Wagner?
Yeah, I've been to Wagner.
I didn't know that you have.
You've been to the parking lot. You sit on the deck and you have a bottle of this, even though it's always sold out. I understand why. And it's cold. And you sit there and you sip and look at the vines. This is really probably the most popular thing they could find. Once again, Finger Lakes. We like Finger Lakes. Are their Riesling as good as German Riesling? No, it's not. Not at all. Are their techniques as good as proper classic German producers? No. Don't even pretend that it is. It's not.
It's not being made that way.
But is this still something that's interesting? It is. Does it have some more complexity than what we had before? Yes. Where would a great German ice fine be rated? Mid to high 90s. That's where great German ice fine is. So to say that this isn't that means that it's just not in the 90s. And it's an 88, just like Scott said. I believe that the white pepper in the subtle dimensions in the way that the fruit does punch you up front, which really, if it was just a little less crazy up front, it might be a little more appealing.
Sweetness.
Yes, the sweetness is so heavy-handed right there. It does linger, but it also filters out into something that's really, really nice. If we're just a little bit more restrained up front, it might be, we might say 89 or right. Something like that. But it's not. If it had a little more intensity and mouthfeel and just felt like something that was concentrated, it doesn't taste that way. Now, I mean, the Baron Alslice is maybe just a little bit because of the mouthfeel, but this doesn't taste like something that they got 5 drops out of 50 pounds. It doesn't taste that way. And it tastes like a sweet Riesling, a nice one, that they took extra time in making a dessert wine out of. That's what it tastes like. And that's really what this is. So.
Where did you see this?
I bought this on wine.com.
Okay.
They were sold out at the winery. I would have bought one or two.
When you were there. At the winery.
Yeah, I've been there. But still, a good effort and a nice thing. And I understand why they're calling it ice wine, because they froze it. And it's not ice wine, it's ice wine. And that's what this is.
I mean.
So, yeah. So, 88. So, for the Schmidt-Sona, Baron Alslice, 88, 87, 86. So, aggregate score 87 for that. Uh-huh. For this, just a little bit over an 87. So, that means the Wagner won by a hair. Just a slight bit.
I thought you were going to say America, love it or leave it.
America, oh, so beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. We're celebrating America tonight.
For $22, 10 packs of Fanta.
Yeah.
Or get Wagner for just the same. Yeah.
Disappoint your son. Disappoint your son.
You could have
no mini Fanta for he.
You could have taken yourself to the store and bought it, but you didn't. And he knows. Because I told him. No, I didn't tell him. He'll kill you in your sleep. No, he'll kill me. He'll blame me.
It's your fault.
It is my fault. So, folks.
No drama tonight.
No drama tonight. No bravo. No tip of the cap. And not even a hearty handshake. But maybe a slight pat on the ass. But I'm not going to tell you for who or why. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.